by choice. Blind by choice. John chapter 9. We're mainly reading, we're just going to read some sections out of chapter 9, although we're going to discuss the whole chapter. But our focus is on the first 7 verses. Have you ever sent your spouse to get something? Or maybe one of your children? Send them to the kitchen cabinets? Maybe to the storage building, to the car, the garage? And then you're frustrated because what happens? They can't find it. You may even find yourself walking out there, right, and saying, "It's right here. How could you have not saw that? Are you blind?" Have you ever suggested that directly? Are you blind? While you're standing there pointing it out, you're thinking to yourself, how could they not see it? Have you intentionally put your hands over your eyes so that you couldn't see what it is I asked you to do? You didn't want to do it, did you? Have you ever thought that? Can you think of times maybe you yourself wanted to be blind? Maybe you're wanting to avoid some responsibility. Officer, I didn't see that speed limit sign. No, Mom, I didn't realize what time it was. Or maybe this morning, when you looked into the mirror, you thought, I would like to be blind. This morning, as we look into our text, we're going to see two things that really stand out. First of all, there's a man that's born blind, and yet, spending some time with Jesus, he leaves seeing. And then secondly, the one that should be most troubling to us is there are men who see, and yet Jesus declares them as blind. John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And he, Jesus, and he passed by. He saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Surely somebody's at fault here. Who is it, Jesus? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Lynn, would you ask a blessing on our sermon and our text this morning? Jesus is the light of the world. He's the one that lets us see anything of value in this life, truly see it and recognize it for what it is. And he comes with an intention to open our eyes even further from the eyes that we are given from birth, to give us spiritual eyes so that we can truly recognize Him for who He is and have a personal relationship with the God who created us. Again, as I said this morning, we're not going to go through the whole chapter. I'm going to discuss it a little bit, but I want to encourage you. It's always beneficial to listen to what the preacher said and go do a little reading. I'm going to encourage you this afternoon. You sit down for a minute before you take your nap. Open it up and read John chapter 9. Read the whole chapter and ponder what I said, or what's said this morning. The rest of chapter 9 is full of some arguments about what happened to the man, who did what he did, and how he did it, and whether he was even blind is asked. We meet his parents. We meet religious leaders. And we meet his neighbors. His neighbors are challenged in believing that it's truly him. Makes you wonder how much they pay attention to those who are hurting around them, that they didn't even recognize him for who he was. The religious leaders either don't believe it's him, or at least question whether he had been truly blind. So they eventually want to create an investigation to verify what's going on. So they call the parents before them and ask them to give a testimony about what's going on, whether this is truly him and what happened, and was he born blind, and all these different questions. And the parents are a little bit concerned how to answer it, because they'd already been told, the information had gotten out, that if you proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, you're going to be tossed out of the synagogue. You witness and testify to what's true about the God who loves you and created you, that He sent His Son to die for you. If you speak and you testify of those things, you're going to be tossed out of the synagogue or tossed out of the church. You imagine. Be careful of thinking, you better not say anything that's true, because we're going to be tossed out. The parents are fearful. They don't say. They won't answer him directly. He's of age. You go ask him yourself. So the religious leaders call him to answer for what's happened. Now, they do seem to accept, it seems obvious, they accept that a miracle has taken place after a little bit of investigation. But they argue about who and by whom and how it's happened. And we see in the discussion the man born blind glorifies God for having his eyes open. And he proclaims to the religious leaders that he recognizes and he knows that God did this. Though he didn't yet truly have faith in Jesus yet, we'll see, as he's truly wondering what's happened to him, he knows it happened and he gives glory to God. He says to them, if this man was not from God, he could do nothing. At this saying, the religious leaders cast him out, because they recognize that he's saying something positive about someone that they did not want to hear anything positive about. They didn't want to hear it. They were closing their eyes. They refused to see what was happening right before their eyes. They even suggested that Jesus, doing the act of a miracle on the Sabbath, prove that he wasn't right, that he wasn't good, that he wasn't honoring God with his life. How many times do we take little rules and we use these rules sometimes to justify our actions to not share love or be loving towards someone else? I want to tell you this morning, my desire is to be more loving than being judgmental towards others. I hope someday, if God's going to call me out for something, it's because I was too loving or that I offered too much grace rather than that I was too judgmental. We pick back up at the end of the chapter after the formerly blind man is cast out by the religious leaders. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, sir, that I might believe in him? Remember, he's not seen Jesus. Jesus said to him, or not understood who he is yet, Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. He recognized what was going on in his life. He didn't understand it all. Who knows? Maybe this man was not a religious leader. Maybe he didn't know his surely he didn't know his scriptures as well as these religious leaders did. All he knew was what was going on in his life. He saw what was before him. He was willing to open his eyes, not only in a physical sense, praise God, that God did that, but he was willing to open his eyes spiritually to something that he did not fully understand. You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Or let me add to my thoughts that those who think they see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. So a man was born blind. And in the scripture, John tells us that as he passed by, Jesus is passing by him, right? It wasn't necessarily, at least from our perspective, you think it wasn't his big plan for the day. He was simply passing by and he saw him. Isn't this possibly a reminder to us how we need to be prepared and to be considering of those we are passing by on a regular basis? Sometimes we get so focused on doing big things, right? We want to do something for what's happening in, what's the country over? Russia, Ukraine, right? And now, don't get me wrong. It's not that I'm not concerned about Ukraine. We should pray about Ukraine. You want to support them in some way. That's great. But what about the people that you're passing by on a regular basis? Maybe the one that's sitting in your own home needs something. Oh, you pay attention to that. I think sometimes it's easier for us to be concerned about somebody that's way down the road somewhere on the other side of the world. Sometimes it's easier for us to write a check than it is to take a little bit of time and care for somebody. Jesus responded to somebody as he was passing by. He saw a need and he responded to it. Yes, you and I don't believe. Now listen, God could do it if he wanted to. God could give me the ability to open your eyes up in a physical sense. But I want to say, don't use that as an excuse, right? You and I, we have limitations on what we can or cannot do. I'm not asking you to go and do something you can't do, but I'm asking you to be willing to do those things that you can do. I'm going to tell you, you walk by hurting people on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis. Lord, give us your eyes. Jesus saw a man who was hurting. What did the disciples see? They saw a sinner. They looked and they saw this guy's downtrodden. Things are not going for him. Where he's blind. Who did this? Whose fault is it, Jesus? Tell us. Isn't that sad? They didn't see a hurting man. Their first thought was, the first thing they went to was, who caused this? Was it his parents? Or did he? Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's one of the ridiculous questions. Did he? But apparently there was a traditional thought. It's not in the scriptures. Apparently there was a traditional thought at that time that it's even possible to sin in the womb. So maybe you sinned in the womb. Jesus says, nobody sinned. And I think in a way he's saying, listen, is that even important when you're dealing with someone who's hurting? To sit and focus and think about that. Who did this? Who caused it? There's a couple of reasons why we do that, right? If we can think of a reason as to why that person is in that shape they're in, then it relieves us a little bit. If we're relieved on the one hand, well, we think, he's getting what he deserves. I don't need to help him. Why should I help him? Hey, he's getting what he deserves, his just desserts. I don't want to get in the way of that. And secondly, and I understand this, there's a sense of comfort. If we can dial it down and explain exactly what happened, then we can walk away and say, it wasn't me, because I'm going to avoid that thing, whatever that thing is. Right? We want to wrestle through those things. And listen, that's human nature. I'm not telling you to quit your thinking. I'm not going to tell you that it's absolutely wrong of you to ever go this route. This is part of our natural response as human beings. We think about ourselves. We think about our own family. We think about our own needs. Jesus is here to say, look around. Open your eyes. Pay attention. The man's eyes are opened. Jesus anoints the eyes of the blind man and sends him to wash. What a simple thing. I know some people have discussed the possibilities of what all that means. Jesus chose to do it this way. I don't know why. I want to tell you, Jesus could have said it and it happened. I know some people say it in a little bit of a funny way, but there's some truth to that, right? It was important when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave that he used his name. Otherwise, when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, if he had just said, come forth, everybody would have come. I believe it's true. Jesus has that ability, right? But for some reason in this time, some way, maybe it said something to the guy, maybe it said something to the disciples, maybe it said something to you that he used a little dirt and a little saliva and told him to wash. But what a simple thing. Simply go and do this. I think sometimes we work too hard on trying to do the hard things where Jesus is telling us there's some things in life here are simple. May not be the way you want, right? I know there was an Old Testament fellow, I can't remember who it was now, argued about what water he was going to wash himself in when the prophet told him to go wash. Just do what he says. It's important to note who did the opening, yes. The miracle was a demonstration of what Jesus is trying to do to each of us. He wants all of us to have our eyes open. Yes, I believe wholeheartedly it is God's desire that everybody be saved and become a part of the children of God, the family of God. But can you see here, what's happening here really is bigger than just this one man. It was a statement. It was a statement about Jesus' ability, and it was a statement about blindness. It was a lesson that it seems though many of them in that day weren't listening. See, just like this man, we are all born blind. Can't explain it. I just believe that's what the Word of God says. There are some aspect of us that are born blind, and that is spiritually blind and not fully capable of understanding the things of God until we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus was talking about when he had a conversation with Nicodemus and he told him, you must be born again. It needs to be. This is something that only God can do in your life. You must be born again. Jesus answered him again, talking to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is only through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have our eyes open, that we're capable of receiving the things that God wants us, so dearly wants us to receive. Rituals and uprightness in life mean nothing apart from faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches in the Gospels that there will be people who have done many great things, and yet he's going to say, away from me, I never knew you. We never had a relationship. For judgment, I come into this world. This chapter speaks of judgment, but truthfully, can you see the spiritual leaders are judging themselves as they put their hands over their eyes. They are judging themselves unworthy of receiving what Jesus wanted them to receive. The Apostle Paul and Apostle Barnabas in Acts puts it this way, when there were some Jews who had no interest in what Jesus Christ, or excuse me, no interest in the message of Jesus Christ. They spoke out boldly saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. And since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Listen, God can't help you if you don't want to be helped. You can go through life holding your hands over your eyes and never gain what it is that Jesus Christ wants you to have. It is, I believe, a very simple thing, just as simple as just doing what God said. At one point, there were some people who were all excited about some of the miracles of what was going on with Jesus in John chapter 6. So excited. What do we do? Tell us, what do we do? The works of God. And Jesus said, believe in the one whom he has sent. See, nothing that you do pertaining to reaching and honoring God means anything until you believe upon the one whom he has sin. Sadly, many people would rather believe a lie than the truth. If you pay attention to the news today, boy, isn't that true in politics? And you can choose whatever side you want. I'm going to tell you, there are so many people right now in politics are closing their eyes. They don't want to hear the truth. All they want to hear is the things that satisfy their thoughts, their eyes, their views. I can sit and listen to anybody speak about politics, and I can probably tell you what channel you're listening to. Because I'm telling you, this is humanity. I'm no different than you all. Listen, I'm judging myself. This is reality. We want to believe what we want to believe. We have to fight against that. I want to believe such and such is an evil guy or an evil girl. Or I want to believe such and such is a great guy or a great girl. I want to believe that. Therefore, I close my eyes to those things that I don't want to hear, see? And I embrace those things that I want to hear and see. I want to believe that eating a bag of chips every night is good for me. I love a bag of potato chips. This is human nature we're talking about. And I want to tell you, I need to hear this just as much as you do. I remember talking to a friend of mine one time. We were talking about a political figure from many years ago. And I was talking, I was saying some good things about this person. I just read a book, and be careful if you're, sometimes you need to be careful around me if I've just read a book, because I want to start talking about something I read, and I was talking about this individual. I was at work, and he came in, and we're having this discussion, and I said, did you know this? I didn't know about this. And he said, hey, did you know he was a womanizer? And immediately, I began to push that aside. I didn't want to hear that because I had already got caught up in the things that I read about this person that I thought was good. And it was interesting. Listen, maybe I'm a little crazy. Listen to yourself. Sit back for a minute and think about what you just said or what you said or what you're doing. And I caught myself. I didn't say anything to him. But I thought to myself, that is an odd action. Why did I do that? But I did. I immediately wanted to defend this person. Even though I didn't know them, they lived many years ago. I had no reason, but I did. Because I had already decided this person was a person that I kind of wanted to put up on a pedestal. And somebody came along and kicked the pedestal down, and I wanted to defend them, even though, again, I didn't investigate it. I didn't know. Listen, isn't it true, so many things that we hold tightly to, we don't know fully the truth. Do you really understand everything that's going on in Washington, D.C., and everything that's going on pertaining to all of those laws? I'm sorry to get into politics. It just seems like the blindness is so there on both sides in so many different ways. That's why it's so important for us. I don't care whether you're talking about politics or buying a Ford pickup. Let's just choose to honor Jesus. And yes, Ford is the one to be most honorable to Jesus. I'm kidding. I don't even currently own a Ford. I haven't owned one in a long time. But that was my dad's choice. People don't seem to be so caught up on name brands this day and age as it used to be. Boy, when I was growing up, there was fighting words to talk about what pickup you were going to buy. Think about it in this way. And I've seen this on TV again and again, and I can say I've seen it in my own life a little bit as well. Think about it. Maybe you've seen this exact situation on TV, a young person goes in the military, and something happens to him. And they send a person in uniform to come up to the door, knock on the door, and they're going to tell them their loved one has passed away. And as the door opens up, they see the person standing in the dress uniform. And what do they often say? What do they portray in movies all the time? No. 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 Denial. You don't want to believe what you don't want to believe. Even when it's right there in your face. Listen, we've got to fight against this. Those religious leaders, I'm sure they walked away feeling wonderful. They did the right thing. They tore down this person that they thought in some way was damaging. I don't care whether you're a Christian or not this morning. I want to tell you, you need to desire to intentionally keep your eyes open. The New Testament, I believe, is constantly reminding us to test the spirits. Be careful that you're not misled, misdirected. Holding on to the things that you ought to be holding on to, or refusing to let go of things that you should be letting go of. Judgment came upon these individuals. I'm talking about the religious leaders of that day. Judgment came upon them because they were blind by choice. They weren't looking, they were not willing to even ponder the truth that was right in their face. How can this blindness be reversed? By simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. What challenges me, and it should challenge all of us here, is quite often the ones, this is just one of many incidents, quite often the ones that Jesus spoke the harshest to over those who were living in that day, who were going to synagogues. I'm going to say this morning, churches, right? He often spoke harshly to those who are regularly attending churches because they weren't there for the right reason. You can come up with whatever reason you might think of, whether it's to feel good about themselves, a little bit of pride build up because, hey, I'm a great person in this community. I do great things. I dress nicely. I get respect in this community. I don't know. What many different reasons why you can think why someone would go and present themselves as a follower of God. I hope this morning you examine your life. I'm not here to question it. Listen, that's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe if you had your eyes open this morning, you know. Their own plans and tradition blinded them. And God came calling. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You are so worthy to be praised. Jesus, we thank you for opening this man's eyes, and we thank you for the opening of the many thousands and thousands that you have opened and that your disciples have opened. And people of this church, as they've honored you, have also opened, Lord. Continually use us to help draw others unto you. Lord, if there be anybody here right now who recognizes somebody that's hurting around them, and maybe they've been walking past them too many times, Lord, let this be the day that they simply look to you and say, Lord, what can I do? Or possibly they just come aside and let them know they care. Vanderhoof Baptist gather once a month to practice something that we call communion. Communion, something Jesus commanded us to do while he was here in the first century. During his last meal with the disciples, you may remember a Passover meal. This Passover meal was a remembrance of God's deliverance. And Jesus was there during the Last Supper telling them about a new deliverance that was going to take place. A spiritual awakening that he was beginning. And he asked them, whenever they took the bread and the cup, and they reimagined or, in a sense, changed what those things meant. The bread was to be a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ that was broken on the cross. And the cup was to be a symbol of the blood that he shed for you and I. I want to read to you a few verses out of Luke chapter 22. Also want to encourage you, this is an open communion. That is, if you're here this morning and you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to take part. But I would encourage you, if your eyes have not yet been opened in faith, that you simply just allow the plague to pass on by. Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. I encourage you this morning, each and every time that we take part in communion, to just take a moment and consider where you are. I encourage you to take a moment and rest yourself in the love that Jesus Christ is offering, has offered, is still offering. Embrace that love. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. It's hard for us to understand why you would choose to do such a thing for me. But I thank you. I ask you to help us to desire to go and do likewise in our life. That we may choose as we give of ourselves, we in turn honor you for what you did for us. We ask you to bless this bread, bless this cup, and bless all the bodies here this morning that partake in it, Lord. Help them to see. And Lord, if there be anybody here who doesn't take in it, for whatever reason, Lord, we ask you also to help them give in, that they may allow you to open their eyes. Thank you and we praise in Jesus' name. Those who are going to help give out the elements, come forward. Bless this bread. Bless it to our bodies. Help us truly understand what a great loving gift it is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. share something. I don't put a lot of credence in dreams. We have the Word of God. We don't need for God to speak to us through dreams. But from time to time, I have dreams that I feel directly line up with what I see in the Word of God. And I had this dream years ago. I was struggling. I knew I wasn't where I needed to be with the Lord. And He does what He should do for us. He takes away our comfort. Wrestling. Laying there in bed and pondering, and finally got to sleep. In the midst of this dream, you've seen somebody, I imagine, at some point, making clay on a wheel, right? Forming that clay. And you've heard the saying, you know, that we're the clay and God's the potter. And there was this piece of clay in my dream that was on a wheel. It was like what I remember, it was like a bowl. And it looked nice and white. It looked beautiful. Nice, perfectly. And you couldn't have come up with a better, I couldn't imagine it. More perfect bowl. And that bowl was being spun on a wheel, and periodically there'd be a crack in it. And immediately there was something that dropped down in red, and that red would hit that bright white bowl where it was cracked, and it would go smooth again. And I remember this going on a time or two, and that sometimes the bowl would have a dent in it or a crinkle. Again, this red drop would come down and hit that spot. And then it would be perfect again. And I woke up and I thought, I was wrestling. Where am I at with the Lord? And am I okay? Is He there for me? And I believe in that dream. He was reminding me. I'm right there. In the midst of those broken times, if you allow me, let us drink in remembrance of Him until He returns. Now let's all stand and sing. What do we have, Joe? Near the cross. If the Lord's speaking to your heart in any way, we're not in a hurry. If you feel a need to pray, it's a wonderful opportunity.
I just want to mention that next week will be Rick's last Sunday. We're going to have a meal after church and fellowship together and tell him what he's meant to us. So let's remember that next week. It'll be nice. All right. Let's sing Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in
Heavenly Father, help us to stay near your cross. Help us to see what that cross means and know, dear Lord, that that cross is something that means so much and is there for a reason, dear Lord. It's there for us to remember. Help us to remember your love for us so much that you gave your own son. It's in his name we pray.